Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One item off the agenda today.
It was paused. Now it's recording, but it said it was paused. So instead of starting the recording, I apparently hit it twice or something and hit the pause button. And so nothing that we've talked about has been recorded. And it was good shit.
It was a good conversation.
It was 4 minutes. We were only gone for like not even 5 minutes and we were going, but it was good 5 minutes.
It was some solid. We had gotten past that.
I don't even know what we were talking about. Like, I'm so upset.
Well, we covered a lot. Like, we started with you talking about how much better the sound was in your headset. Yes. Then we started talking about how old I was because one of the students who worked for me asked me what year in the 80s I graduated. That was towards the end.
When we use the phrase send my regards, and I asked if anybody of a certain age even uses that phrase anymore.
Because we're talking about the Mrs. O'Dowd's birthday coming up this weekend.
And how the wife and I were in Tucson and she had to record a podcast and it went off the rails and she had so much fun. And we've planned 5 topics, which means we're going to fuck that up, which we already have. Because I wasn't recording the show. God damn it.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The straight punk bitch.
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up.
Miranda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere.
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
Teddy Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
The bass is still great in these this headset, so I'm very excited about that. So as we were talking, people in this world are insane. First of all, I forgot that Quora, is that how you pronounce it? Quora, the website we asked was still a thing. Apparently still a thing. Did not know. I Googled, I was trying to find out the whole send my regards and like what generations use it and not getting it. Someone literally posted a question on Quora. If someone asks you to send regards to someone else, how do you do it? Like, this is not, you're not Western Unioning somebody money.
Right.
Which is very old.
Greg said, Craig sends his regards.
Right. What's funny is that the person then answers a 4-paragraph answer.
Whoa.
When a shared acquaintance asks this favor, please send my regards to whomever. It simply means they wish to let the person to whom they asked to be remembered is wishing them well, and that the person was in their thoughts who you and the wisher met. This was written 7 years
terrible,
ago.
That is a terrible answer. That is a terrible...
There's more. You move their wish forward is up to you to say to whomever the next time you meet or talk on the phone. is like this. And then they give you an example of how to send your regards. Oh, by the way, I'm going to change the name. Oh, by the way, I saw Patrick last week and he sends his regards. Hopes you're well. From there, the person to whom the regards are sent can respond in any number of ways, such as, I don't recall Patrick. Who is he? Or, oh my goodness, I haven't seen a Patrick in a year. How is he? Then there's a closing paragraph. Your responsibility in all of this back and forth is to be a good acquaintance or friend and briefly share what you know regarding the wisher or the wishy to each other, but really nothing more. You can end it all or further it by saying, may I give you Patrick's number? I know he'd enjoy hearing from you.
This is, so this was 7 years ago, you said?
This says 7 years, which could be anywhere between 7 and 8, right? Depending on the date.
Well, you know, it just, there are times when I wonder how, like, human interaction got to where it is. And that is that people don't actually interact with each other anymore. Like, I see this a lot. And this is, again, this is anecdotally and what I observe out of my kid and his circle of kids. And they don't, they like don't leave their house like ever.
Right.
Except to like go to their like team activities. And then they go back and like the little O'Dowd, like, all of his interactions with, like, one of his friends came over this past weekend.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, there's another human in the house. And all they did was then go upstairs on their laptops and play games on their laptops in the same room.
Ah, yeah, that's,
I mean, if that's your thing, that's your jam, that's your drive. But like, I don't know that the little O'Dowd would know how to, like, I don't know how they are socially. I don't know what they do socially. I don't see it. It's interesting to me. And for a long time, I was like, maybe it's just his mom, because he tends to take a little bit more after his mom. And I'm not exactly the world's biggest extrovert, but I'm not afraid to leave the house.
Correct. Yeah.
And I do know how to like interact with another human being and would not have to ask Quora how to send somebody your regards.
What's really funny.
For example, should I run into Heather Lynn, who now works at Disney World?
Yes. Uh-oh. Patrick is frozen. We've frozen Patrick O'Dowd. You're back. Okay, you were frozen from.
And now I'm gone. You were frozen on my end too. Yes. Where did I leave off?
If you were to happen to run into Heather Lynn, who now works at Disney World,
I could send Heather Lynn Greg DeMarco's regards without looking it up on Quora. I wouldn't even have to ask you if it was okay for me to send her your regards, because you would send her your regards. I know this about. I know this well enough.
I wouldn't though. You know why? Because there's a highly probable chance that within 6 hours of you seeing her, she sent me a meme on Instagram.
Right, but I can still do it. Oh, even if could. I needed to.
You could. Even What's really funny to, about sorry. The sending. So that answer was given 7 years ago. On June 27th, Roxanne
Wait, this Ranger, is not the show that we agreed to have.
Now, Roxanne Ranger says, I usually just say something like, I'll send your regards, or I'll let them know you said hi. Then when I see her talk to that person, I mention it casually. Then Roxanne posts her picture.
Oh, it's not showing up well. I got the idea. But
I'll send, and I have a feeling Roxanne just answers questions and reposts her profile picture with every question that she answers. Because why? Because
she's sending her regards. Yes, that's what
better
she's
than
doing.
Any regards than anybody.
Both of her regards.
Both of her large regards. Oh wait, I didn't want to follow Roxanne. I want to see if she does it. Every single picture, she literally answers a normal question with a picture of herself. Like, is she secretly promoting an OnlyFans with all of this? Yes, she is.
Here's the thing is,
yes, she is.
I would also be willing to bet that might not actually be a real person, but that's okay.
No, because when you click the link, it goes to Zoe Lita with a link to her exclusive content. So yes, we're going to,
The AI deepfake world is getting smarter and smarter by the minute. And there's so many lonely people out there that believe the beautiful blonde talking to them in that profile pic is not an AI generated image.
That's right.
So, but Greg, wrestling, I do want to talk. I know you have a list of topics, but since we're off the rails, and I'm sure what I'm about to bring up
is
on your list in some way, shape, or form. Because I am once again stunned by people who should know better acting like they don't know better.
So wait. Because today was the day, right, that this topic came about? Today.
Which topic?
Well, this day happens once a year. And a certain wrestling publication.
Oh, no, no, we're not about that one. No, it's not about that one. This is about a certain event that took place on Saturday.
Ah, yes, the Palooza.
And it's debut on a new streaming platform, which I can't get right now I just don't want to because I have to do other things to get it because I would like DirecTV to perhaps also allow people who still have a dish, not their streaming, to use the ESPN Unlimited app the same way that DirecTV streaming gets used. And I'm just not willing to add a bundle for something I'm supposed to get because I have ESPN. Anyway.
I don't get it either. I have YouTube TV and it's not part of YouTube TV. But I may just change my Disney Plus membership to include it at some point. I don't know.
But my what blew my... I'm surprised that I'm still surprised. So
I'm surprised that I'm surprised. So really you're saying you should know better.
I should know better about the behavior that I'm about to talk about because the IWC is responding to the ESPN writer who evaluated Monday, you know, WrestlePalooza like they have before ESPN had the WWE and running with that as if the top executive at ESPN wrote that review and therefore, oh my God, ESPN is mad at Triple H and WWE and this is terrible and it's all falling apart. And I say this as somebody who, without watching the matches, but read the results, got the idea that in terms of quality of match, there were.
Oh, he froze again. Another for frozen Brock Lesnar. Okay, you're back. You were frozen.
God damn it.
I know.
I guess my network is struggling today. So again, I was rolling. I hate it when that happens. Because it always happens when I'm rolling. Where did I leave off?
You came back with the phrase Brock Lesnar. I can tell you that.
Oh, so basically what I was talking about. So I know you laughed when I was talking about the review that was written by the ESPN writer called it a C show and everybody was mad.
And you were this being the opinion of an executive.
Right, like people are acting like this is the opinion of the top brass at ESPN, and it may be, but that's not what they're basing. That's not what they're basing their thoughts on. You know, the people who did see the show were apparently underwhelmed. And as somebody, like I said, who couldn't watch the show live, I did read the results, and the way I gather it, there were two matches that people seemed. There was one match people seemed to love. And that was EO and Savio Vicaire. Right. There was the tag match, what people kind of said was meh. And then the other two matches outside of Cena and Lesnar, they weren't dog shit or anything, but they weren't anything to write home about. I know
people thought that Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre was too short.
Right. But like nobody was like, these are the worst matches ever, but they also weren't the best matches ever. And then people are big mad. For reasons, because Brock Lesnar in his return to the ring once again destroys John Cena after Paul Heyman was brought out to give him the Brock Lesnar introduction, like the whole thing. Like,
right.
did you And they were like, we're not mad that John Cena lost. We're just mad that he lost the same way again. And I'm like, well, you know, this is where they're going to finish his story. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, and here's the thing about that. All right, so we'll go into that. First of all, Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes was 17 minutes long. Okay. CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch was a half hour long. Bell to bell, not counting all the intros and everything. I guarantee you, without really being able to guarantee you, right? I guarantee you, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena went exactly how John Cena wanted.
Oh, no. The word is that as early as the morning of Saturday, the plan was for John to beat Brock, and then Triple H changed his mind.
The word was also, remember, that it was reported by what's his name? The commentator for Raw, ESPN, and I can't even remember his name now.
Right.
Joe, shit, I watched Raw. Like, Joe, what the fuck's his name?
But just because I went to a Raw like a week ago, you think I know?
He called football games for ESPN. He still does. Jeez, what's his name, dude? It's killing me now that I can't remember who the commentator for Raw is.
I got you. Hold on. You keep talking.
So.
Joe Tessitore.
So he had originally said that Cena versus Brock was going to main event and later comes back. Here's my favorite, okay, about that, because I did some prep, as we've talked about, and that was part of the prep. Now I got to find it because it's out of order, because this was topic number three. Our good friends at Fightful reported that John Cena versus Brock Lesnar was slated to main event the show, but, in quotes, higher-ups from ESPN wanted the, in quotes, pomp and circumstance of a championship match to close the show. Now, ESPN already came out and said they have zero to do with these shows. Zero creative input or whatever. I highly doubt that a higher up from ESPN, who may not know who Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre are,
right,
but more than likely knows who Brock Lesnar and John Cena are, would be 1,000%. Like, oh no, put Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre on last, please. When really, we all know it's painfully obvious that Triple H has a tremendous hard-on for Cody Rhodes and has ever since he came back. That's why Cody went on last. Plus, they're building the crown jewel Perth, Australia main event between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins for the crown jewel championship that I thought was a Saudi Arabia thing, but now we're doing it in Australia this year. That was being built. So I seriously, plus it's Cody Rhodes, who is their one of their golden geese. So that's why. Plus, you may not want to end the show on Cena getting squashed. Like, if anything, if I'm a fake wrestling news reporter, I would say that they moved the show to the beginning, or they moved that match to the opener because they didn't want the show to end on Cena getting squashed like SummerSlam did in 2014. That's more believable than, oh, it was a it's there's better ways to lie, basically, is what I'm saying.
Well, there's better ways to fantasy book, right? Like, as you say, better ways to lie, and so many times with these things, who knows who said what to get this person to believe that their source or whatever was real.
No one said anything or with true. A source. Someone made this
but,
up.
But what you see when you read something like that is, I assumed that this was what was going to happen when Brock Lesnar came back. It didn't happen, so I'm going to say it was supposed to, and there's nothing anywhere that you can find to disprove that statement, because sources, right. Bro.
Trust me, bro, yeah.
And that's the thing is, you're going to get Cena and AJ in Perth. So I would assume that Brock Lesnar may make an appearance in some way, shape, or form after that match. He may not. Who knows?
I doubt it.
They don't need him there.
Brock's the Undertaker now. Brock is taking the Undertaker schedule at this point.
Right. And so
we may not see Brock till WrestleMania.
Right. You don't think John gets him at like Saturday night's main event for his last match?
I think John and Brock are done, dude. I think John and Brock are done. I honestly think that John's last opponent's going to be Roman Reigns. Second place, Seth Rollins. Third place, Braun Breaker. That's just my own. I have no reason to believe that other than just my own personal gut instinct.
Right. So what you guys heard there, now everybody that are typing away with your Twitter monkeys, was not Greg saying these are the planned final opponents for John Cena. Those are Greg's. That's Greg's playlist.
Yes.
And this isn't even Greg's playlist in a way that I would say he would be upset or disappointed.
No.
If these weren't the three. These are prediction playlists. This isn't fantasy booking playlist.
Correct.
And that's fine. Cause really, it's not like Edge is walking through any of those archways anytime.
Which some people still think could happen.
Right. Which by the way, sweetest little show of love to each other. Very nice. Good to see that happen. Wrestling kids can cross borders.
Remember when Edge signed with AEW, he came out and he was just like, it's fine. Why are you making a big deal out of it? Almost as if Edge was surprised, like he doesn't understand the business he's in. But it's cool. It was an Edge and Christian reunion. At least Christian's still wearing the turtleneck. Like, that's what I care about.
Right.
That's
the turtleneck is the peak.
And now Beth Phoenix is back as well. So it's fine. But yeah, like I if I were them, I wouldn't want a main event with Cena getting squashed by Brock Lesnar for 8.5 minutes.
Right.
I don't want that. I probably would have main evented with the CM Punk and AJ Lee beating Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, but who cares? Like,
who cares? And that was the longest match of the show, right? It was the one that took up the most time.
Stephanie Vaccaro and Io Sky. Actually, they should have main event with Stephanie Vaccaro and Io Sky. But again,
well, we know why that doesn't happen. Women in the main event.
Because they went 20. And so, again, I was at an indie wrestling show this weekend that we co-promoted. And apparently they had the pay-per-view on backstage, the same monitor that the event would be on later. And I guess that match blew everybody away in the locker room. To which it was a combination of like, do I say, oh, yeah, I bet it was because I love Stephanie Vaccaro, blah, blah, blah. Or should I just been like, you're a bunch of fucking marks and walked out the door. But I didn't do either because I'm not that guy. But I thought about it. But just to be funny. But I respect a lot of people that were back there. So it was what it was. But here's the thing about
they could be fans too, you know.
Of course. How else would they have gotten into the business?
Gotcha.
99% of the wrestlers got into the business because they were a fan. And then like three people were discovered at a gym in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Like that's it.
Right.
So, you know, that's all. ESPN had like a full court press. Cause I get article alerts on my phone. And I mean, there were a million ESPN articles about this event. There were all sorts of interviews all over the place with all different sorts of people. I'm shocked Logan Paul wasn't on the card, to be fully honest with you. But I'm sure he'll be on some of the future ones. What's interesting is that it's will we see, like, will ESPN give us viewership numbers? I don't recall them ever giving viewership numbers for UFC pay-per-views.
No.
But I don't know.
So, yeah,
well, the UFC deal was different because the UFC, you still had to pay for the pay-per-view. So I don't know how that works.
I'm sure Dave Meltzer will have some number that he thinks makes sense.
And that everybody AEW All Out.
What's that?
It'll be less than what AEW did for All Out, which was on the same day.
Right. And that will be the number that everyone will claim victory for, that cares to claim victory for such things. I get some of the fan reaction about this is what we do now. We make things such a bigger deal than they actually are.
Yes.
And what I found hilarious was people thinking that a show titled Wrestlepalooza was in some way, shape, or form going to be bigger than a WWE September show, by the way, September show named Wrestlepalooza. This is where shows titled Fastlane end up, or, you know, Armageddon. And this isn't even the right months. I know I'm spouting mid, these are mid-tier pay-per-view times. because we're past the SummerSlam, everybody. We're now the next biggest in my mind, the next true biggest, unless Perth proves to be not a world outside of the world of the WWE, like so many of those Crown Jewel shows have been. Right. They've existed outside of the rest of it. Like, and you'll see the highlights, but nothing that really happens at Perth is over or has happened at Crown Jewel has been like overly consequential to the run to the Royal Rumble, which is kind of, 'cause like Survivor Series. So I know some of you out there love it. Hold it in your heart. Big love. Thanksgiving tradition. So on and so forth. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And so I'm sorry that WrestlePalooza wasn't SummerSlam Part 2 or whatever you wanted to be.
I mean, they were all big matches. Like,
yeah, but the expectation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
They were all big matches, but outside of Stephanie Vaquer's big moment, which is by other thing, is if you wanted pomp and circumstance to end a
right.
show,
that's that.
Like, according to theory, it's her getting the big celebration fireworks, streamers dropping down, shaking hands with EO, all of that to close your show. Like, that's your pomp and circumstance, but that's not how Triple H books, never been how it's booked. Like, we've had one go. Cody's a close second. That's fine. But like outside of that match, every one of those other matches, while big, weren't necessarily enders to anything.
Right. Except Cena and Lesnar. But
people would disagree. Well,
Cena right now kind of exists in a vacuum. So
right.
It is what it is. Right. He's just playing the hits right now. And remember, he supposedly asked for Brock Lesnar, although he came back and said he didn't. And now he supposedly asked for
AJ.
What do you call it? AJ. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But there are reports that they want WrestlePalooza to be a huge event so they can take it international in the future. At this point, I think internally, WWE views them all as huge events. I think their goal is to make as many big, because I think they want to build a WrestlePalooza brand so they can go hold it in, you know, some stadium in France or whatever, right? Like, that's what they're trying to do. I also think they want to build WrestlePalooza up big. I think they want to build another WrestleMania so they can just kind of give it to Saudi Arabia so they don't continually right. want the real WrestleMania. But, and remember, and this came up, I think we talked about this last week, and if not, it came up somewhere else. Everyone thinks this was counter-programming, and Triple H flat out said in an interview, this is the day ESPN asked for.
Right.
And they had to throw it together.
No.
Last
counter-programming.
Minute. Well, yeah. And that's another topic I want to talk about today. Like, literally, WrestlePalooza, the third topic on my list, has been the springboard for all the other topics I want to talk about. I haven't seen WrestlePalooza because I haven't signed up for the ESPN service yet. I will. I found out literally just Sunday that apparently I get Paramount Plus for free and didn't even know about it. So I guess I'm going to sign up because I have Walmart Plus so we can send shit to my son.
Oh, nice.
In college. And I take advantage of the free delivery myself too. And I like it, but, so
I think Paramount Plus is actually an underrated little streaming service.
Well, it's about to have all the UFC pay-per-views. So,
right.
Which I don't really watch, get it. But I could.
I get it because of my subscription to 24/7 sports. It was part of, like, anybody who signs up for 24/7 sports for whatever team you follow, it's part of the package. So
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
For 24/7 sports, totally off topic, right? I shouldn't even be recording this question, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. Do you pay by the team or do you get access to all that for every team?
You get it for every team. So I have VIP access to like every message board. Your team is like your home team site.
Right. But so like you follow like Illinois is like your main stuff, but then you'll get right. the others. Like if you wanted to Sacramento State, you could.
Right. Like if I really wanted to, I could have spent my Saturday, you know, drowning in the joy of Indiana fans on their message board after they walloped Illinois 63-10 and proved that my Illini do not belong on the big stage. Anyway, this last time I'll talk about it. Sorry. But no, I really like that site. I think it's really good. You can tell what schools care about that. Like the reason why I signed up in the first place is because the guy who writes for the Illinois side is really, really good. And a lot of those major institutions are solid. You know, not all of them are great. Some of them are loaded with homers. So there is some junk to navigate through. And, you know, I'm happy that my home site is a guy who is very much a fair and balanced lead. Like he's so balanced in his evaluation of Illinois that like the fans on the message boards will question that he even went to school at the institution, which he did. But he's very fair. He's very honest. But anyway, so Paramount Plus came with it and I took advantage of it. I forgot that UFC is going to be on there.
Next year.
I do really like, I like Paramount Plus. This is good. I think it's,
I want to watch Tulsa King. So that's definitely a plus for me.
Yeah.
Cause I like shows like that. So I will definitely be checking that out. By the way, highly recommend the show Animal Kingdom on Netflix. I know it was on TNT years ago. If you get through the first season, it gets a lot better. And I just finished it yesterday and now I'm empty inside. But we should do a whole podcast about TV shows. Not like bandwagon nerds TV shows, but like other types of TV shows. That's a whole other story. All right, we're going to shift gears because we have talked about a lot of different topics. We talked about the competition or the counter programming, right? And during the All Out, which was also on Saturday, post-show, Hangman Page addressed WWE's counter-programming efforts. He said the locker room is not overly focused on it, saying it's not remotely something they worry about. And I want your thoughts on it, but I want to preface it with this. The dude was asked the question. Because I know it's so easy to go after people for like, why are they even bringing it up? Like, somebody asked him this question. And he said they're not really focused on it. What do you think?
What are you supposed to say? Like, honestly, like you get asked that question at a press conference and somebody's writing it. Are you supposed to be like, we're very, very focused about it. And we're trying to do everything we can to like show them. Like, that's what I think some people wanted him to say. I think he gave a pretty corporate answer that you would expect your starting quarterback to give about the, about an opponent the next week. We're not really thinking about them. We're worried about us. Like,
it's probably true.
Right. And that's the thing is, I don't even think he's making something up.
No, I mean,
I think again, what others want versus what is, are usually wildly different things.
I the one interesting thing for me about that, like, I wish somebody would have asked like Ricochet, who's made this his total shtick at this point.
Right.
Like he just would have gone off and whatever. Like it just depends on like, or MJF, who would have just gone off the rails just because he thinks it's funny to do so. I can't wait when MJF is like old and retired and has already had his WWF run. Cause he's probably going to tell hilarious stories about the things that he did during this time. Like MJF will be great with this kind of stuff. And of course, you know, the Observer had to comment on it, saying his response echoed that you know, it's not a big concern, whatever, not in there. And I guess it was a record of ticket sales for Canada. I don't know. But I don't think it's a facade. Like, I think it's just, they're probably tired of answering these questions. I would be.
Right.
And I kind of wish he would have been like, why do you keep at, like, this isn't even a thing for, like, sometimes I wish reporters would be held more accountable for the questions they ask. And I know they're just doing their job.
Well,
I do.
But I do. I also think that reporters in our field
aren't
the strongest of reporters. No. I would say that's true in general. Like, I didn't go to journalism school, so I'm not going to pretend like I would be some great interviewer. But like the deterioration of the way questions, like people don't know how to ask questions, like, and they don't ask good questions.
It's all about the quote. It's all about the headline.
Right.
Because the in-depth interview, which is a lot more fun, isn't as newsworthy. So,
you can't do that at a press conference. I understand. No. But you can ask a better question than what do you think about WWE's counter-programming efforts, which is already a loaded thing. And as you pointed out, Triple H was like, this is when ESPN wanted to put it on.
Right. Exactly. Shut up. Like, this is not a thing. But, of course, people are going to act like it's a thing and whatever. I don't even know. And I know Tony Khan said they like the idea of running earlier. Maybe they'll run earlier in the future. I don't know that AEW running All Out at 3 p.m. changed a whole lot of their success for the event. I honestly think the reason Tony Khan moved the event to 3 p.m. had more to do with social media than it did buy rates or anything else.
Right. You're controlling you have the algorithm for a while.
And like he just cares so much about social media, like he books to it, whereas WWE doesn't, unless apparently it's John Cena versus AJ Styles. But whatever, we'll get to that in a minute. And to be honest with you, I think it's a non-story.
It is a non-story, but like, yeah, there are you more put it questions on your bullet I can ask. To talk about.
Yeah, there are more well, it is newsworthy, I guess, in terms of water wrestling. But yeah, whatever. So now Patrick O'Dowd. I'm going to shift gears into what I was talking about, because this day comes once a year, and because I haven't been on Twitter all that much, if at all, and my life is infinitely better because of it. I just miss all of you guys. I didn't even realize that this day was today. So when you find out what day today is, of course, it feels a little like this.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy?
Today was the day that the fucking PWI 500 came out.
Did you make the list, Greg?
Nope.
Damn it. Sure. Sorry, man.
Didn't. And okay, let me ask you this question.
Because if you did make the list, you can't make a Twitter post about you being 498 on the PWI 500 and what an honor it is. Sorry. I'm not
exactly no pop.
That's how I feel with PWI 500.
Exactly no pop.
But it gets a big pop, right? It's literally keeps them in business, I would imagine, at this point. I'm going to ask you this question first, and I literally, it's a yes or no question, okay? It's terrible podcasting for me to ask you yes or no question and only want a yes or no answer. And then I'll ask you a follow-up question. Question, and it's also a yes or no question, and I only want a yes or no answer. Question number one, do you care?
No.
Question number two, do you even want to talk about it?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither. All I will say is this, and I said it last year, and I came to this conclusion as we were talking about it, because I'm in the world of independent wrestling, and I see independent wrestlers, many of whom I personally know and adore as human beings, and they are extremely happy for being ranked in the 300s or the 400s or even the 200s. So I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you are under contract at WWE, AEW, TNA, or New Japan, this does not matter in the least. This is frivolous. Right. You're being used to sell magazines. They're not paying you to be ranked in the PWI 500. It doesn't fucking matter. Cody Rhodes will tell you it's a big deal because he's number one for 2 years in a row, and that's whatever. However, If you're an independent wrestler and you got ranked, then congrats, because you've done something to get noticed, and that's your job as an independent wrestler. So the likes of Amira, who's in the 300s, and Chris Nasty, who's in the 490s, who are wrestlers that that are in the local wrestling scene with us that come in from other areas, I've seen them share their posts and their numbers, and they're very proud of it. And I'm extremely happy for them because they work really hard. I know how hard both of them work. I talk to both of them on a somewhat regular basis. They are fantastic professional wrestlers. They deserve whatever recognition they can get for their efforts. So I will not besmirch the good goddamn name of Amira and Chris Nasty by saying their ranking in the PWI 500 is worthless, because it's not. It is truly worth something. I think, and this will never happen, and so I am going to preface if this will never happen. So I'm going to say it just because I think the PWI 500 as a legitimate list with a purpose would be better off ranking wrestlers not under contract. That to me would be a better list. Now, would it sell magazines? Of course it wouldn't. Right? Would it get the same reach that they wanted to get on social media? Of course it wouldn't. But in terms of purpose and contribution to the world of professional wrestling, which I would imagine PWI thinks they're doing, that would be it, in my opinion.
Hey, I like that you say that. I would say I agree with you that it would be better, because the lists, it's like any other media or avenue that does a listicle, which is what this is. It's a listicle.
Just a giant
The idea is for you to read those top ones and get indignant over who, like, I do this all the time on Bandwagon Nerds. Like, we literally have, when the news slows down during the late, early spring, late winter months, we bust out listicle shows, because that's one of the few times that BWN will get responses as people get bent out of shape that I said that Dr. Doom wasn't the greatest Marvel villain of all time. And, it's Thanos or whatever, which I don't, by the way. But the point of those lists and the point of the PWI 500 is to get people talking. And it is a vehicle for those wrestlers that you're talking about to say, I'm here, I'm on this, and how, look, this is great, check me out. So it does both, but it's just too damn long. 500 is too damn long. Like, I'm not reading 500 names. I'm just not.
No, nor should you. And again, good for the people who are on it, especially the independent wrestlers. I'm happy for them. I want them to get that publicity. I don't give two shits about their criteria that they claim to stick to. I think they purposely do their criteria so they don't list Roman Reigns, because they know people will then talk about it. When did Roman Reigns really have that many more matches than John Cena? I mean, not John Cena, Cody Rhodes in the last year? Probably not. Like, that's just the WWE schedule at this point. So I just, whatever. Like, it is what it is. And it's just not all that important anymore. And it's marketing. It's whatever. Good for Cody Rhodes. It's great. Like, again, if you consider the kayfabe aspect of it and the importance of the world of pro wrestling, then there's,
Right.
There's just no way that certain people would be ranked where they were. Like, John Moxley is number two. Okay. Gunther, number three. I think he was two last year, but I don't remember. Like, Hangman Page. Right. It's okay. It's fine. But again, the kayfabe metrics, whatever. Like, it's just, I know they put, like, representation in there. I'm sure they craft the list in a way that has more to do with just their, like, they're always going to put a New Japan wrestler in the top 10, right? There just always are.
Right.
To appease those fans, even if it wasn't deserved. Like, they're just.
Yeah, it's about your readership. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. So, that's enough about that topic, in my opinion. My humble.
Bomb-bomb-y.
So, We do have WWE Crown Jewel, and we were talking about that. You know, let's take a commercial. We haven't taken a commercial yet, so we're gonna take the commercial, come back, and talk about another topic.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
We are back, and I had another Patrick O'Dowd freezing during that commercial break, but we are back and should be fine. That one might have been on my end, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think maybe these are split. But we are 3 weeks away from WWE Crown Jewel. Again, the PLE schedule is absurd. The Crown Jewel is in Australia, which means if Patrick O'Dowd had the ESPN service, he could watch it. So that's fun and exciting. They are doing the world champions against each other for the big-ass belt that I guess stays in Saudi Arabia. So will the belt even be in Perth? I don't know. They can just make another one. And, of course, the ring that Cody has. And obviously the top matches will be the two women's world champions against each other, two men's world champions against each other, which of course means we get Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's great. In my opinion, like that's ideal. If you're WWE right now, because
I'm a little jealous of that match.
Why?
Because I think it's a good match.
Why? I don't know that
I'm going to be able to watch it unless DirecTV fixes its shit. So like, I'm a little jealous.
So I think it's, and because they have history, right? Like the promo on Raw last night, I haven't finished Raw, but the promo on Raw last night, I thought was great. Like Rollins interrupts Cody. I think some people kind of scoffed at Seth Rollins as the top guy coming out of WrestleMania.
And I don't know why you would.
I know. Right. But I think he's proven it, and it shouldn't be a debatable issue anymore. Because when he was in there doing the promo with Cody, I'm like, I kind of would put Rollins 1 and Cody 2 at this point. Like, and maybe some of that's personal bias because I love Seth Rollins, I love the character, I love all that, right?
And we have gone south on Cody. Like, yes. I don't think you can deny that. Like,
yes, LOL Cody wins.
Right, but. You know, just from my own experience, like, yeah, I don't understand how you can't anybody could say that Seth Rollins couldn't be the guy.
Oh, he is the guy
coming out of WrestleMania
in the midst of being the guy.
And tonight, like, even in my small 3,000 person arena, like in that 4 person
right
interaction, Seth was the most over consistently throughout the entire overlong promo. Like AJ got a big like initial pop when she came out because hey, you're new and you're back. CM Punk did get cheers and got a good pop too. But Rollins just kept bringing the crowd back. Rollins knows how to command a ring and an audience, and this whole vision thing is something I was admittedly skeptical of, but the way they're doing it right now, where like they're not always all four together four or whatever together, like they're doing their own things, and yet at the same time they're still part of this unit. I actually like how that's working right now.
They were largely separate for the build to WrestlePalooza, and Seth Rollins, and I kind of realized this last night, any segment he's in, he carries.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is, like there's the phrase ring general, of course, used to go to like the Ric Flairs and that type of the world. Now it's Gunther's nickname, right? But a ring general was somebody who led the entire situation in the ring from bell to bell. Seth Rollins is like a segment general. If that segment is a wrestling match, he's leading the wrestling match. If it's a promo, he's leading a promo. He even, like the most impressive stuff that he did in the promo with Cody wasn't even just the talking. It's what he did before the talking. The way he interacted with Bronson Reed, Paul Heyman, and Bron Breakker, and the way he told them to stop, and just like he did it with full on nonverbals, and it was just brilliantly done. And then when Cody was leaving, and Breakker and Bronson and Reed were stepping up to Cody, and he just waves them off in the background, and so they stand off to the side and let Cody go by. Like Rollins is that guy at this point, and he deserves that guy treatment. And call it bias, call it whatever. I don't know who I'm going to pick to win, but who should win, in my opinion, is Seth Rollins. Because
I think he should too.
He'll have that to brag too. Like that to me is he would do more with it. Like Cody, you kind of forgot Cody had it till he wore the ring in the ring
right
last night on Raw. And Cody does his best promos when he speaks less. That's one thing that I've noticed.
Yeah.
Because like, Cody's all about the big line. Like there was one promo on Raw where he never spoke. It was several months ago in the build of WrestleMania. Like six different people came out and Cody like never got to speak. But Rollins interrupts him. Rollins does all this. And then Cody points out that he beat him every time they've wrestled and leaves. That's all you needed. Like, that's it.
And which I also think lends itself to Seth Rollins getting this one in 3 weeks, by the way.
He's lost to Cody three times already.
Every time.
Yeah. Like he's got to win this match, in my opinion, but we'll find out. What? You're shaking your head.
I've dropped the call like four times, man. Like
we didn't lose like, you at all. You didn't even freeze on me.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, because I like you froze on me, and that's why I was like she like this because I was like I am
yeah,
so
you,
tired of
you. Actually, didn't freeze one bit.
I am running out of patience for our team's media today, and so
maybe whatever, we will need to use the new alternative you brought up. Maybe we'll give it a try. We'll see. But the other match, of course, that's been announced for this card is John Cena versus AJ Styles. And Cena advocated for it on social media. And then shortly after that, it was announced. And Cena was like, the fans did it. Now, maybe he's mocking the whole the fans changed the card thing. But here's the deal. On the Crown Jewel poster, you have Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, John Cena, plus all the other people in the title matches. I would be willing to believe the match was supposed to be John Cena versus Drew McIntyre. I'd be willing to believe that.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to believe that Cena asked for the AJ Styles match and got it. Because especially Cena could be like, look, I turned heel. We all knew it was stupid, but I did it. We saved it when I turned babyface. I did the Brock match where I got him, you know, I wanted to get squashed by Brock. Like, give me the A, because I don't think the AJ match was ever part of the plan. Because Cena did the Styles clash in his match with Logan Paul. And he said he did those moves because those are guys he's not going to get to wrestle. And now he's suddenly getting to wrestle AJ. And so I don't think that was the original plan. So I'm willing to believe that rumor to be the case. This will confirm it for me. Cena's only got like five appearances left, and one's a Raw in Boston and one's a Raw in Madison Square Garden. If he has an opponent on one of those episodes of Raw, that to me will be them telling us that was his original Crown Jewel opponent.
Right. Like that they got bumped.
Like if he gets Drew McIntyre on a Raw or or Roman Reigns on a Raw, that tells me that match got bumped for the AJ Styles match. It's my gut instinct. Again, I don't know. I don't know anything. And when I do know stuff, I don't say it because then I will stop knowing things. But and then, of course, Stephanie Vaquer just won the World Women's Championship. She's facing whoever the SmackDown Women's Championship is. Tiffany Stratton has to defend her title in a three-way match against Jade Cargill and Nia Jax this weekend on SmackDown. There's some reports that maybe Stratton is injured and might get written out in this. I don't know. In my humble
opinion. Because of that bump?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, she took a pretty hard bump. Couple weeks ago.
Maybe they're going to write her out and put it on Nia Jax, because I wouldn't put it on Jade Cargill because she just won Queen of the Ring. I think Stephanie Vaquer should win this match regardless. Like, you just had this huge moment with everything with her and Io to turn around and have her lose. Now, they could, whatever, but I think they see what they have in Stephanie Vaquer, even though everyone thought Julia was going to be bigger. I think they realize Stephanie Vaquer is a fucking star. Like, just is what it is. She's got every intangible possible. I know we talked about her last week, but I think that she should win the Crown Jewel Championship thing that they do every year. And maybe you put it on Nia and you just have Nia put her over, because Nia's not going to be hurt by that, right? Nope.
No.
Nia's Teflon at this point. So that's kind of my gut instinct. If it was Tiffany, it'd be a great showdown between the two of them, but they could both benefit from winning that match. right? Naya, right. I don't think, is in any better of a position if she wins that than if she loses it. Like, she's right. made. She's made at this point.
And I hate to say this. If the decision is Jade, I weep for Stephanie Vicar.
Because Jade's probably then going to win, right?
Right. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that would suck, in my opinion. Like, I just don't like that.
What I'm interested in now, and I know they just did what they did with Asuka and the Damage Control folks, or former on Raw. Like, obviously Rhea Ripley's on this card.
Right. Right.
Last time they did this, the only time women have main evented a PLE outside of Evolution since Triple H took over was Rhea Ripley in Australia.
Right.
Now, I'm sure that Cody and Seth will main event this show, but you got to have Rhea Ripley on the card. Like, it's just, if I hate when people are like, Triple H is a bad booker, Triple H should be fired, blah, 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 blah. If Rhea Ripley's not on this card, Triple H should be fired. That's just my opinion. And poor Patrick O'Dowd is frozen again. And so now he's going to be upset because now he's unfrozen again. His patience has worn thin like his son was 4 years
old. It's gone. It's done. It's done. We need to wrap this show.
This is your commercial for us trying the other service next week. This is exactly what this is.
So we will. And what's hilarious is that every time I come back to the call, Teams is like, you should try and use your phone. And I'm like, then I got to go get my AirPods and do that.
We're going to do this. The other topic we had was the exorbitant ticket prices for WrestleMania. Whatever. If you want to go, you got to pay. You know why?
Because
others will. That's why.
Yeah, it's the biggest wrestling convention in the world.
Right. Exactly.
That's what you're paying for. The biggest wrestling convention. I was actually talking about this with somebody who works for me, one of my students, because they were like, I low key love wrestling. I was like, oh, that's great. They were talking about WrestleMania. I was like, look, it's the show itself, and you've talked about this many, many times. You know, the matches themselves are culminations of some storylines and plots, but like what it brings to a city and what it has become, like all of that is possible because the WWE goes there, and it is the biggest celebration and convention for professional wrestling in the world. Catch all the indies you never knew about, and we'll forget about after you leave. And you know, there's fan event after fan event, 2 days now of WrestleMania fun. Like, there's so much that I actually am not upset about the price tag, because I'm not going to pay for it.
Right.
But I also, like, if WrestleMania were close to me again, or when WrestleMania is close to me, like, I've thought about it. Like, that's always been out there. So,
But if WrestleMania is close to you or close to me and the ticket prices are what they are, I'm not going.
Right.
Because that better seat is on my couch.
Probably.
Because we're not going to get the great seats in the stadium. And even the great seats in the stadium, like, it's a stadium. Like, even half the floor seats suck because you're on a floor way far
back. We were in nosebleed for the one WrestleMania that we went to.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing is, I didn't care.
No.
Like, but
that was because we were at our first WrestleMania. Now, 20 years later.
When I go to a wrestling show, I really believe this for myself. This is totally me. I don't care where I fucking sit. Yeah. I don't. As long as I have some view of the ring, like, I don't, like, obstructed view, okay. Right. But, like, as long as I have some view of a ring and some view of the screen of what's going on, for me, especially for a WWE event, The atmosphere and the ambiance and the presence of being there is almost more important to me than being as close as possible to the ring. Because floor seats, kids, unless you're row one or two at a WWE
or
event,
three
on floor
or
seats,
four, yeah.
three, maybe three, but you know what I mean? Like, there's only so much that a floor seat can get you other than you bragging about having a floor seat.
You know what's crazy about the WrestleMania ticket prices? You could probably go see every single indie show that takes place during WrestleMania weekend for the same price as your combo ticket to WrestleMania. And these are the bad seats. Because apparently front row center is like $70,000. Now, it's a package with a bunch of other shit, right? But And last year it was 50 grand. So it's gone up considerably. But here's the, like I said, people are going to pay it. So it doesn't matter. Right. Spoiler alert. Right. And I'm not going to say why. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to WrestleMania, but I'm going to be in town because I have to be. And that's all I'm going to leak about that, because that'll come out probably till like January. But if I'm AEW, this is going to WrestleMania 43 now. I am absolutely, quote unquote, counter programming WrestleMania 43 because of everything else that happens that weekend. Give Game Changer Wrestling and WrestleCon and everyone else, give them their weekend that they deserve. Right? The goodwill you would receive for doing that would be tremendous. Even for the American fans who are largely WWE fans, who obviously aren't traveling to Saudi Arabia to watch this show, would might go to your event anyway. Like, do it, pick to go to Chicago. If I go to Chicago, go to Chicago, because that's your city. That's where you draw the best. Come here. This is like their second best city in the country. Do it in New York, wherever. Like, go do it somewhere where you know you can draw, and just go all out, go crazy, and do a Saturday and Sunday. Like, just fucking do your own version of WrestleMania and just do it up. It's not even counter programming, because that show's going to air at like noon in the States anyway. Like, right. So it's
right.
Oh my God. I'm just thinking about all the complaints we're going to have to listen to as we get closer to WrestleMania 43. I don't even want to think about it.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Patrick O'Dowd, 3 minute warning is very simple. First of all, among those that invaded NXT today, I saw it on social media, Matt Cardona. I like him. Huh. That Zack Ryder finally got involved in the NXTNA thing. Like, that's, they were probably saving it for this. Mickie James has been announced for the TNA Hall of Fame.
Good for her.
And that's exactly good for her. I think she should go into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think they should have brought her back at some point. I think she should go in the WWE Hall of Fame. I also think Nick Aldis should wrestle in the WWE at some point, which is her husband, of course. I'd love to see them do the husband wife thing. Like, I know she kind of got shafted with the whole LFG deal because Triple H's wife has to be booked in everything. Undertaker's wife has to be booked in everything Undertaker's booked on. Whatever. Like, very much well deserved for Mickie James. She is a Hall of Famer. She should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. She should be in the TNA Hall of Fame. Any Hall of Fame where she's wrestled, she should be in. I think it's great that they're putting her in the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people like, there's plenty of people who leave the WWE, go to TNA, and you know, have great career. Like, Gail Kim was the same way. Like, she was a very big part of TNA for a while after she was let go from the WWE, as another example.
And she's in the TNA Hall of Fame.
Gail, right. Kim is. And what I particularly love about it is that, like, Mickie James, when she was in TNA for a long stretch of time, still continue to be a relevant wrestler.
Yeah.
And sometimes that didn't always happen. And she was
even
really
up to just a couple years ago.
What? Yeah.
Even up to just
a couple years ago. And so she's always been, I feel like she's always been a major part of TNA. And so sometimes people like to throw out this like idea of, well, you know, it's her WWE credentials that are really getting her into the TNA Hall of Fame. And I don't buy that at all. I think if you watch even 5 minutes of Mickie James in TNA,
yeah,
like, it's earned. It's earned.
She also got to do like better, like, she would, because she was treated more seriously in TNA and she wasn't like the psycho crazy, whatever she was.
Right.
Her promo skills got to be put on display in TNA a lot better.
Right.
Where she was cutting like serious wrestler promos and she was really good at them. And like,
she wasn't getting censored at WrestleMania.
No, but cause there's a whole rung by damn rung ladder match promo that she cut that I still remember that I have to find. That was phenomenal. And it was just her selling a ladder match. I think it was against Victoria, or Tori, whatever they called her in TNA. But to me, it's well deserved. I'm glad she's got it. Good for you, Mickie James. Here's to many more. So, and Patrick O'Dowd, that has taken us, even with the 5 minute delay at the beginning, past an hour. So the best 55 minutes in wrestling podcasting. We used to call it that a long time ago. We were close. Patrick no longer has to be frustrated. So we appreciate you listening. By the way, prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Pick up one of those beautiful chair shot t-shirts. IZWTix.com. We haven't mentioned it on the show today. Samoa Joe coming to IZW November 8th. His only independent wrestling appearance in over a decade. Be there if you want to see him in a small, intimate setting. It's going to be a lot of fun. But just do it soon because we're going to sell out. I'm literally going to have to map the building out here in a week just to make sure I can fit all the people that are buying these tickets. And of course, listen to all the great shows that everyone works really hard on here at thechairshot.com. We've got tons of great podcasts, articles on the website for you to read, and so much more. It's sports, it's entertainment, it's sports entertainment, and you can find it all here at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Until next time, he's Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. That's right. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist. I'm Greg DeMarco at GregDeMarco44. We appreciate you listening. We'll see what the world of wrestling gives us next time to talk about. But until then, always use your head.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.